prompted by a few emails. Tell my Santa story again.
Oh, your Santa story.
Yeah. I got to tell my Santa story.
All right.
Hey, hey, Dave.
Yeah.
This is the radio. Is it clean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
Oh, that's too
Don't
bad.
You remember from last year? I told it last year.
I don't remember last year, but I do remember you bringing in rum balls, which is probably why
morning.
I don't remember.
Well, of course, we won't be on the air next Sunday because of being Christmas Day.
Right. We'll be over to your house opening presents.
You got it.
Yep.
And but on January 1st, that Sunday, we'll be doing the show, and I have the rum balls already done. I've already done my other Christmas cookies, the cutouts. Matter of fact, I just finished those yesterday.
No, good.
With a 3, a 4, a 5, and a 7-year-old underfoot.
Helping you.
My grandson, he helped me out a lot, and then the rest of the grandchildren all came over. And God bless my wife. She is probably still home taking a few...
Valiums
and who knows what else, a bottle of scotch and recouping. Because it's fun, you know, trying to keep up with those older kids. And, of course, me just still getting over the heart attack. It's not like I can pick the kids up and do a lot of stuff yet. Kind of watching that. But just keeping up with them.
Oh, that's impossible.
Oh, that shows you how old you are.
Well, you know where little kids get all their energy?
They steal it from the grandparents.
Yeah, they suck it out of the nearest adult.
Yep.
Now, for those of you who are planning to do all your shopping online this week, don't forget that there is a real-world portion of this. There's an analog part to your digital shopping, and that's shipping. Most places are not going to guarantee that packages will arrive by Christmas if you shop later than today.
Or, yeah, and you...
And some of them were late last week.
Well, even if you do the shopping today and ask for regular mail delivery, you know, or postal service or one of the other carriers, I mean, normally, you know, it could come in 2 to 3 days, say, depending on where it's coming from. But because of the volume, you should, you know, to get it kicked up to that extra notch, ask for at least overnight or the next day.
Yep, I did some shopping of my own online, and I've been doing it actually for a week or so, which for me is shocking. Normally, I don't start shopping until there's a 2 in the date, you know, a 20, until it starts with a 2. But I did a bunch of online shopping already, and I actually hit some malls on Black Friday.
You are an animal.
I am an animal. I don't know what's happening to me. Something has gone wrong.
Age.
It seems
daughter.
That most of the places, exactly, seems that most of the places that I've gone to have big signs, you know, on them that say, you know, if you don't, you know, will not show up by Christmas, you know. You get the list of, you know, 2 to 3 normal days or express delivery or, you know, 1 business day. And a lot of them now say at the bottom, you know, can't guarantee by Christmas if you don't accept the 1 day.
And a lot of folks don't take...
So you pay money to shop late.
Of the other things I should, while we're thinking about this, doing the Christmas shopping and all that, because I've already run into a couple folks that have had this issue. And when you're going out to purchase computer games, or any other program,
yeah.
Folks, take the time, and on either the side or the back or the bottom of the box are going to be requirements. Before you go out shopping and looking for this game, your son, daughter, or relative wants this particular game, make sure you know what you have as far as a computer at home so that when you purchase this particular program and get it home on your machine and all of a sudden folks are moaning and groaning on Christmas Day because it won't work because you don't have enough horsepower to run the game.
Or you also suggest to people that they don't try to return the software because you can't once it's open.
Right.
Yeah.
Once it's open, it's yours, right?
It's yours.
Yeah.
A couple stores will have a return policy. I know a couple used to. I don't know if anybody still does anymore. But, yeah, you want to make sure that you've got enough RAM, that your system is powerful enough, and that you've got a video card that does it. I got a question on Ask Nick this week. Somebody said, I bought a game for my kids, and we started running it, and the first thing that we did is when we went to install it, it came back and said, you don't have pixel shading.
Yeah.
You need a high-end video card, and I'll guarantee you that's not the one that comes built onto the motherboard.
No way.
You're going to spend a couple of $100. Well, you can spend $100.
Yeah.
And get a semi-decent one. But the idea is it's never going to be the one that's built into the machine. And if you bought a low-end system, You definitely are going to need a new video card, possibly a new sound card,
and probably more memory.
Probably more memory.
A lot of these folks don't realize that, you know, they get these great deals on these systems, and they're running Windows XP, and Dan and I have seen them, that they come literally from a company with 128 meg of memory to run Windows XP. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
and then, of course, they bring it to you and say, what's the problem? And you're the bad guy. Well,
oh,
you need to spend more money. Oh, yeah. I don't want to spend more money.
Oh, this was supposed to be a good deal. They said it would run Windows. Yeah. And that's about all.
Well, what's worse is then when they say it'll run your games. If your game is solitaire, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it will run it. Yes, no question.
Yeah.
You're good to go. But you really need to be aware, folks, that if you're going to be doing any of this sort of stuff, buying any of these kind of things for Christmas, you really need to be aware of what says on the side of the box and what you've got in your system. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, we've got Gunnar and Dave on the line. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, and Meenik. I almost screwed that up. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco. I can't hear a thing.
He's playing.
There we go.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me.
Da 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 da.
Been an awful.
If you didn't know, in my previous life, I was a doo-wop singer. Did you? And I was the bass.
That's right. It's Santa baby.
Ooh.
With us on the singing and the songs.
All right, listen, we're back. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. You got to keep my sound up here, son, because I'm trying to record the show at the same time here.
Dave, you never said your name.
I'm
Neither
Nick Francesco.
One of us did.
I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And See? This is Soundbites. You happy now? Like they don't know? All
you
right.
know what?
Go ahead.
I just like to do it.
Okay. I'm Nick Francesco.
Well, I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton. There
and
we go.
This is Soundbites.
And we'll just be doing a whole hour of that.
Yeah, this isn't working. I'm hoping Steve's recording this. Steve is not available today. He is at his store at MacGav. He's selling for the Christmas season and unable to be with us today. And there's
maybe
some
he's
kind of
our iPod.
Yeah, that'll happen. And I'm having some sort of problem doing the recording myself. But Steve said he was going to record it. I'm also trying to record it off the air. Wham, as you know, is simulcasting now on the web. I don't know if that's what they call it anymore. We're streaming anyway. And so I'm also recording it there. My Linux box automatically records it every week. And then it's very cool. It's a very cool little automated system. So, but I'll have to edit that. But anyway, that's there, and this is here. And all God's chilling are all God's chilling. So we're going to go to the phones now. And we're going to talk to... Is it Gunnar or Gunnar?
Well, either one. Nick, I used to work with you at RIT.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
How are you?
I've been better.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. My problem is I've got Windows XP Home Edition, and the computer won't let me start. It won't. It says I'm missing or have a corrupt System 32 driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the setup CD-ROM that originally came with the computer. And was wondering is if I get Windows XP Professional,
mm-hmm.
Could I just download that and save everything on my hard drive?
Well, first, you really don't need to go to spend the extra money for Professional for
that's
a home
extra,
system.
That's like an extra $50. And for a single computer, unless you're on a network, you're really not going to gain anything. Just spend a lot more money.
Oh yeah, okay.
So if he buys home, can he overwrite home with
Here's
home?
Here's one thing he can do illegally, and this won't break any license agreements or anything else because he's already got it on the system.
Yeah.
If he's got another machine there with XP home, it's the same version. In other words. It's, say, Service Pack 1 or Service Pack 2. You can borrow that CD just to reinstall XP over XP because it'll still ask him for his original license number, which is on the side of the machine.
Oh.
So if you can borrow another CD, but it's got to be the same version. So in other words, if you have, say, XP Home, Service Pack 1 or Service Pack 2. It's got to be the same version. You put the CD in, and tell it when it boots up, you tell it to boot off the CD. Now, you'll see the first screen that says install. So you go ahead and put the install in, and then it'll ask you for the agreement F8. The second time you see where it says, because on the first one it'll say repair, but you skip that one. You do the install, then the F8. The next screen you're going to see is it allows you to do a repair. When you select the repair, it installs Windows over Windows. So give that a shot and let us know how you make out. Have a good holiday.
Yes, indeed. Our next caller, Dave from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Nick, you were actually heading down that path. I run Windows XP Professional and was wondering what utilities would you recommend to record streaming audio?
Well, apparently I'm doing it badly, so I wouldn't be the guy to ask. But the product that I really, really love is Audacity. The product is called Audacity, and it's a free program. Are you talking about streaming audio off of a website like the WAM feed?
Yes.
Total Recorder.
Total Recorder.
Yes. $12 is what it costs you for their current program.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll even get, like, you know, probably a good year or two's worth of updates. But it is a fantastic program. I use it a lot, especially when I want to, you know, take something and say I record a piece of music. You know, it can be pretty high as far as disk space, you know, size of it.
Mm-hmm.
With this program, you can resize it. So a lot of programs, say I'm putting through my MP3 player, now I don't need stereo. It's right. Only a headset. So I compress. It allows me to shrink it down to a smaller sample size so I get more songs on my MP3 player. It's very useful program, and I would highly recommend it. Again, it's called Total Recorder. And if you go to our website, we've got, you know, off of, I heard this website on your show, we've got a link to it.
From the links tab, it's at highcriteria.com. I turned Dave on to this how many years ago for recording stuff for
4 or 5 years ago, and I love it.
For the bike.
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful product. It's like $12. It's $15 Canadian, which is somewhere in the order of $12 American.
But I had, when you turned me on to it, I bought the first version.
Yep.
And it was like 2 years. They had let me go from version 2 to 3 to 4. And it wasn't until this latest version they said, well, sorry, you got to upgrade. No problem. For $12, I'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great product.
Yeah,
and it lets you set timers and everything. Oh, it's great. You got to try it.
Give it a shot.
That's the product you need. Our next caller is Marty from Niagara Falls. Slowly we turn to Marty. Welcome, Marty. What's your question?
Hey, good morning. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, sir.
My first question was about a new laptop that we got, and once you set it up with XP for the administrator and for other people to use it, can you make changes in that later?
Yes, as far as the other users, you can,
you can add users, remove users.
Change their usage.
Set the way it boots up. A lot of laptops boot up in administrator mode without you having to type in a username or password. That's dangerous and bad. So you can change that all in the setup, in the control panel.
Okay.
The users and the user accounts control
panel. One thing
panel.
I would suggest is don't use a blank password for administrator, which a lot of folks do, is put something in there that you can remember and you have that way full control of that laptop under the administrator's usage. So if anybody else changes things, you have a way of changing it back.
Exactly. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob. No, not Steve. What in the heck? I see that he's not sitting there.
Yeah.
Look, there he isn't right now. Steve is off.
There he isn't.
Doing whatever it is that Steve does when he's off doing things. And so he's not
here
today. No, he's actually at the... He's at the store.
What he said.
That's what he says. What he told
us.
Who knows
what
he's really
doing? There could be a Star Trek convention in town.
Who knows where Steve is? If anybody has a Steve sighting, call in and let us know. But I'm Nick Francesco. This is Dave Enright. We have Rob Linton. We'll be back on the other side of the news, and hopefully, I'll have my.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Big shout-out to Steve and all his buddies at MacEv, who I'm sure have us on the in-store speakers today, or else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Better.
They better. Our next caller, Mike, from Bristol, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Seem to be having a problem with my web browser that I just kind of popped up out of nowhere, and wonder if you guys might be able to help.
Probably not.
try not to laugh. I'm running Windows 98 SE.
Yeah.
I could try. And I, of course, live out in Bristol, so we're doing dial-up to get to the web.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, out of nowhere, the browser just doesn't go anywhere. You dial in, you log in, you open the browser, won't go to the home page, won't go to any page at all.
Have you cleared out the cache and all the temporary internet files?
Yes.
What? Where does it go?
Well, it looks like it goes to another IP address that isn't related to where the IP is.
You have been hijacked, my friend.
Yep.
Okay.
Your web browser's been hijacked. That's a virus.
All right.
Or a Trojan.
Or a Trojan or worm or whatever. But the whole point is it's malware.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You need to dance the security tango.
Okay. We've done that before, but we can do that.
Need to do it again.
Well, you need to do it fairly regularly. And the other thing you may need to do is look and see if you have a hosts file, H-O-S-T-S. Now, in 98SE, it's somewhere under Documents and Settings.
Settings, yeah. No, there is no document settings.
It's under in Windows, Drivers, System 32, et cetera.
System 32, it might be in the INF or folder or right there in System 32.
Anyway, if you do a search for hosts, yes. H-O-S-T-S, you'll find that file. And what that file lets you do, and it's actually a good thing, I mean, in abstract, it lets you list certain IP addresses and then associate them with a name. So you could associate, you know, if you have your own homepage out on the web, you could put that the address of that and then associate it with the name My Page. So if you type My Page into your web browser, it'll come up.
Okay.
But
and the host portion, is that in the regular portion of the name, or is that the...
It is, I believe, the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is, I believe, the name. And so you go find that, do a search for that, and look and see what's in it, and that'll tell you whether or not you found the right file. It should just be, there's some verbiage at the top, but then it's just a list of IP addresses
verbiage?
And names. Yeah. And it may be that a bunch of those names are places you don't want to go, or you'll recognize them as the place the browser's trying to take you. So you just kill that file, and you're back to what you normally should be. All right. Our next caller, Brian, from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
How are you doing, guys?
Good. Great. How are you?
Verbiage?
Verbiage.
Yeah, that's what I said. New term.
What? Come on, you people. It's I'm trying to lift the level of this show out of the gutter where you were, Steve's not here.
Yeah.
That's it. There you go.
Listen, every week on the old tube-type Telefunken.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I have a
question. Oh, how cool is that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, I like old radios. But actually, I had a question about our business network and a virus issue we ran into last week. And what had happened is one of the guys was using one of our computers on lunch break and dropped the shield and went and did his Yahoo Hotmail virus laden, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, we got I got a issue with Explorer not coming on. I'm getting an error. Just says that it can't initialize the program. It's an 05, you know, the last letter,
right?
Last number. So I dance a tango till I do that normally anyway.
Good.
And we dance until our feet bled.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I downloaded also a bunch of betas off the net to see if they could find bits and pieces of this thing. And I'm getting references to Alexa. I deleted as much of that as possible and ran the programs that could get rid of it. And everything runs in safe mode now, you know, the Explorer does.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to boot the program, the one machine that was infected, when I go to boot it into full mode, mm-hmm. again, it's blocked. And it was a good time to switch over to Firefox anyway. However, I do have a remnant of this program kicking around in our network somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, see,
that's
cleaning any one machine isn't going to clean the network.
It just jumps from one to the other to the other.
Yeah, well, I've actually isolated the machine.
All right, have you tried Hijack This?
I have not tried that one, no.
I would recommend trying to run Hijack This. It cleans, you know, but it sounds like you're pretty computer savvy.
I do okay.
You can then download and put that on. Matter of fact, you might want to put it out on your server, and then, you know, that way you can get it from it to any machine.
Right.
And put it on the desktop and run it. It allows you to turn off a lot more stuff that you don't see.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything in the processes. You know, I looked at differentiation between the, you know, you post it safe, and then you try to
Hijack This will find a lot more stuff that, you know, you wouldn't see there, or Spybot and Adware don't catch.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But it's, again, for the not the faint of heart, you got to know what you're doing.
Oh, I have no clue, so I'm going to do it anyway.
There you go.
That's what I love to hear.
I actually, one thing that I was actually concerned about, moreover, is the fact that none of our protections caught it on the way in.
It could have been
That would be bad. It could be a new variant.
Uh-huh.
But what that tells me is your antivirus on the network is not up to date. If Spybot, Adware, and all that stuff caught it.
Yeah, it's considered spyware.
Yeah, and antivirus may not catch it.
But, yeah, it
but
won't.
It depends on what you're running at the network level. For example, we run our email server and all of that stuff is a Linux box, and so we're running Spam Assassin and a couple of other products, and they catch everything. But it might mean that your antivirus definitions on your network are not up to date. So I would definitely check that as well.
Yeah, because there's a list of stuff there on how to get it.
Okay, our next caller, Joan from Greece, New York. Welcome, Joan. What's your question?
Hi. I don't know anything about computers, and I've had one sitting here for 2 years and didn't even know how to turn it on until the other day. I had a friend come over and show me how to even turn the damn thing on.
Yep.
So he said he couldn't get in, though, because we don't have a password. And we can't get the password, so what do we do now?
All right, what version of Windows are you running?
I have no idea.
Well,
I'd have to ask him, and he's not here.
So it's an older computer?
Yes, it's a gateway that was bought used.
Okay, 10-to-1 odds, it's got Windows 98 on it.
Uh-huh.
And when the machine starts up and you get to that first screen, where it says the username and then a password, just hit cancel, and that'll take you on in.
Hit the escape key or click the cancel button.
Yeah, hit the cancel button, or you can type in that username, your name, or any name, and just hit enter. It creates another user ID, and away you go.
All right, we're going to have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
It's the best time of the year.
I don't know if there'll be snow. I can't believe you don't have Dominic the Christmas Donkey. Oh, holy mother of pearl.
What are you talking about?
Dominic the Christmas Donkey. It's only the greatest Christmas song ever written. Ever written. Dominic the Christmas Donkey. If you don't have it, I despair. I despair. For the library at Wham, it's without Dominic the Christmas Donkey. Unbelievable.
Okay, there's one.
Unbelievable. Yep. All right, we're back. This is Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Did you forget who you were?
Moment of silence for Steve.
Speaking of that Christmas theme, I think right now we got one other person waiting to call. I got to tell that Christmas story.
Oh, here we go.
Rob's all worried there. Let's
take the call first.
All right, let's take the call first. We have Vito from Chilai on the line. Welcome, Vito. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'd like to upgrade from Firefox 1.07 to 1.5, but 1.5 is described as having intuitive interface and block viruses. So my resistance to doing that is, does that conflict with a resident antivirus program?
No.
Right. And right now we've been running into some issues. You know, again, it's beta.
It didn't say
no, that. It's out now.
Yeah, it's out.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it just came out.
It was beta.
Yeah, no, it's out now.
We were, what was it? One client, we tried to install 1.05 and ran into...
No, 1.5. The new one, yeah, it was 1.5, beta, but it's out for real
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but 1.5, though, we were running into some issues just a couple of days ago when we were trying to get it... we downloaded it off their website. We went to install it, and we were getting error messages.
Were you?
Yeah, so...
I don't know.
Try it out and see.
I'm using it everywhere. Except here because I'm downloading it to install it on this machine. I'm using it everywhere, and I love it. It's got a couple of new features that are pretty terrific, and I'm very pleased, frankly.
So is this intuitive antivirus program comes with like a heuristic thing?
Well, it's not. It's not. Yeah, it's not an antivirus in the sense same sense of
like McAfee and
McAfee and that stuff. But it helps protect against web-based viruses coming down to your machine. Is basically what that all means.
They didn't really explain this. I appreciate it. So you're saying don't worry about any conflict.
No, I'm running it daily with my web browser, with my antivirus now, and it works great.
If you can get it to install, you're golden.
It's basically things like improved pop-up blocking and stuff like that.
Yep.
Okay,
better security in terms of the web browser itself. But it's not an actual antivirus program like... AVG or McAfee or one of those.
Okay, so for the install, I'll follow the typical procedure, eliminate it from add, remove, and leave everything else alone, and it'll copy over my...
Yeah, in fact, if you just install it, the first thing it'll say is, oh, you're running the old version. You want to get rid of it?
It'll do it for you.
Yeah. And in fact, with this version, you don't have to ever do that again because all upgrades are incremental. You don't have to uninstall and reinstall to get it. So, yeah, I would absolutely suggest that you give that a shot. I'm a huge fan of Firefox to begin with, so it's very pleasant. And now, you know, I think we've waited long enough. Dave's got a Santa story.
Yeah.
I can tell you my Santa stories, too, when you're done.
All right, when you're done.
No, go ahead.
But this one, no. I had a couple folks say, because they couldn't believe I told it on the air. Back when I was growing up, I mean...
Your hand on that dump button, Rob, just in case. Excellent. That's what I like to hear.
Now, when we were growing up, I mean, downtown used to be the place to come
to. Well, when you were getting older, I'm not sure you ever grew up.
Thank you. No, I haven't. I'll admit it. But, no, in growing up, you know, downtown was the place to come. And that's what makes me sad now. We look at, you know, Rochester now in the downtown, and it's like a ghost town. But when I was a kid, I can always remember coming downtown, hitting Sibley's and that, and the Santa, and everything else. Well, I was one of six kids, me being the oldest, you know, sit there and try to help my mother out in that. Well, it was one year, mom was pretty busy, and I was trying to help her get stuff ready in that. And we realized my baby brother, Kevin.
Oh, I remember this story. I love this story.
My baby brother, Kevin, we forgot to take him to see Santa. And he was upset because, you know, he's only like 4 years old or so, and he's really getting upset because... he wanted to go see Santa. Well, mom didn't, because this was before the malls were around, didn't want to traipse all the way downtown. Or, you know, downtown to sit there and park and then go to Sibley's and look for Santa. So here it is, 2 days before Christmas. We got to go take Kevin to see Santa.
Sure.
So she hops in the car, and we go up to this florist store. And it was on the corner of Lake Avenue and Lyle Avenue. And I believe it was, what was the name? I forget the name of the florist, but it was right next to donut shop. And right on this corner was this great florist shop. Well, mom pulls around the corner, because right on the corner window was this huge Santa. Mechanical Santa, and he just sort of turned 180 degrees, waving his arm. My mother turns to me and says, Dave, roll down the window. What? He says, roll down the window. I roll down the window. My brother jumps up over on my lap. My mother turns to Kevin. My brother Kevin says, tell Santa what you want for Christmas. So here's my four-year-old brother telling what he wants to Santa, and he's just sitting there turning 180 degrees, waving. My poor brother, I think he was damaged for life.
That's clearly scarred him, and that explains a whole lot about the Enright family in general. We're going to take a quick break while we apply cold compresses to Dave's forehead, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers, But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Yeehaw!
From our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa. As for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Love we it. Believe. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we believe this is Soundbites.
You had a Christmas story.
I do. Well, I have many stories. I have
well,
so many.
Tell that one.
I was one of Santa's helpers for a number of years.
Cool.
I was one. Yeah, I know. That's amusing to you, isn't it? Do I amuse you? What am I, a clown here? Was that what that's about?
Mr. Elf in there.
Yeah, right. I was one of Santa's helpers. For a number of years. I was one of Santa's helpers on the Magic Mountain here in Midtown Plaza.
You were not.
I was for many years.
That means I could have.
Yes, you probably did. And also I was one of Santa's helpers over at Sibley's.
So there's a chance that you bounced me on your knee.
Uh-huh. There's a chance that I scared the living patoota out of you. What happened? What used to happen was they had this long winding ramp up the Magic Mountain and then this short ramp down. The problem is there'd be these kids coming up, and the long ramp came up behind Santa's chair the way it was originally set. So and the directive was you give each kid a hearty ho 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 as they come up. So here are these kids, they spend like an hour and a half in line, and they're coming up to the back of this chair, and all of a sudden this huge face with a white beard peeks around the side and goes ho ho ho. I tell you, there are more kids that tumble down those stairs. Just scared out of their little brains.
And that's before they had Pampers and all that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I cleared out a number of kids in many more ways than one. And one thing that Santa's helpers learned very early in their career,
the
joy of plastic bags. Before you put your Santa pants on, you wrap a plastic bag around your thigh. Because many of the kids have been in line for just a little too long, if you know what I mean.
And they've had too much to drink.
Exactly.
Or anything else, 'cause they had the big time down.
Exactly. But I tell you what, Santa's helper in Sibley's had it the best, because Santa's helpers had a Barca lounger.
Yep.
A Barca lounger, and they were in the toy department, and Santa's elves, and nobody came. Nobody came all day, because they all went to Midtown. Nobody came to Sibley's during the day. After school, we get all the young high school and college girls who'd come downtown to get their pictures taken with Santa. Yes, excellent.
My uncle did the same thing, 18 years.
Yeah.
At Sibley's. His name was Dick Henry.
Yep. It's being Santa's helper in Sibley's was great. You were right in the toy department. You got to play with all the toys.
And the custard ice cream that you could get in the back part of Sibley's.
And they had those balloons, which was a Santa inside a clear balloon. I loved those.
Yeah, that was
they were great. They were great. All right, enough reminiscing from us. We're going to talk to Elsie from Greece. Welcome, Elsie. What's your question?
Oh, hi. I was in my car last week when I was listening to you, so I couldn't write it down. You mentioned a couple of other antivirus that you use other than Norton and McAfee.
Yes.
Could you give them to me again now that I've got something to write down?
Sure. I personally use a product called AVG.
Yep. A like Victor.
A as in anti, V as in virus, G as in Grisoft, which is the name of the website, Grisoft, grisoft.com.
Uh-huh. It's a freebie, and it works fantastic. As a matter of fact, my folks that I work on with the Commission for the Blind use it. And it is fantastic. You know, again, the free version, you've got to get the updates, but you can sit there and through that,
well,
schedule it.
Amy, think of it, because I just got an email suggesting that, you know, the next year's antivirus, Norton, is available, and of course it's quite expensive.
Well, yes, it is. And if you're looking to save some money, Grisoft's AVG is exceptional. The other one we talked about last week is if you are a Frontier DSL user, you can download their web's antivirus suite free as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just go up to the website, and it'll be listed there right on their website. And that's free to you as well. Antivirus is right there.
And that's just as good?
Yeah, it's eTrust, or what is it called? Easy Armor? I forget what it's called. But
Easy Armor.
Yeah, and it's an excellent product as well.
Oh,
So either one, and both of them are good. They're both free to you, and you know, knock yourself out. There's no reason. They're both. I mean, yeah. There's nothing. You know, if you want to get Norton, God bless you, or you want to get McAfee. I met John McAfee 100 years ago when he was first starting the company. Great guy. I'm very impressed with him and his product. But, you know, in these parlous times, saving a few bucks here and there is not a bad idea.
And Norton does get rid of some of the things that I'd like to be able to have, and I don't know how to...
Yeah, Norton is, it seems, with each version, they keep messing things up more and more.
Yeah, they do. Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
No, thank you, Elsie. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
It's like, well, especially with this latest version, 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, one, it'll only work on certain operating systems, but it, like, wants to take over full control of your Windows XP, and Windows XP is already trying to do that.
Right.
Hence,
right,
you have...
and they're fighting with each other and slowing down your system and getting in each other's way, and who the heck needs any of that? That's one of the things I really like about AVG. It just sits in the background and does what it was designed to do, which is catch viruses.
Yep, just... That's all they do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a great thing. All right, listen. You know what? We're going to take another break. We're going to go to the news. Rob Jason is in, and he's gonna give us the professional news, weather, sports. He's going to talk to us. He's warming up his lips even as we speak. My rubber baby buggy bumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers, toy boat. We'll be back.
He wants to sing a Holly Jolly Christmas.
And he's going to sing to us. Aren't you, Rob? No, Rob is not going to sing.
He said sing solo.
Neither Rob. We got a booth full of Robs in there, and neither one of them is going to sing to us. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. It's Christmas. You need to call in and tell us not only your computer questions, but let's chit-chat about what you're going to do for Christmas, what you're planning to buy, what you'd like.
What are they getting us?
What you'd like for Christmas. It's not too late to get your bid in for some great toy.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. You know, being Santa's helper at Midtown Plaza was an experience like no other.
Oh, yeah.
It was both wonderful and horrifying at the same time. Millions of kids, it was great. It was great talking to every single one of them. They were just so happy and full of joy, and it was so neat. And then there were the times when, for example, in the middle of the day, it was relatively quiet, and an inebriated gentleman of the streets toddled up the steps, sat on my lap, and fell asleep. It was
unique.
It was a slice of urban experience. I'll just tell you that right now. And it was great. The tough part is that particularly when it was busy, it was hard to break away to feed the reindeer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, the one thing, though, and it's kind of disheartening, is, and I still enjoy it, from time to time I see different places that have the old pictures up of Rochester or, you know, various individuals have them on their website. But because I've been trying to tell like my technician or my partner there, Dan, and a couple of my other folks about the days back then in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm only talking the 50s.
Well, that's because you're old.
And I am. Of how downtown used to look and all the stores that used to be downtown.
Well, the whole concept of window shopping, you know, now it's walk around in a mall and just run by the stores as fast as you can.
Yeah, it's all enclosed and no convenience. I mean, no. To go from store to store, you had to go out on the main street.
Yep.
Go down to the next one. And it was a big thing. But, I mean, it was so pretty. you know, with all the lighting and decorating Sibley's used to always do on the outside of their buildings,
beautiful.
And all that. I mean, it was gorgeous, and it was a big thing when Midtown Plaza
was built.
It was built, and oh, the first enclosed mall.
The world's first indoor mall, absolutely.
And, I mean, that beautiful clock now.
Yeah.
That's so sad to see that
they
clock
down there.
They
used to sell... They used to have a machine that vacuum-formed a blue plastic clock. It was the Midtown clock, and it was a machine. You put in a quarter, which in those days, for
it
me
was
at least, was a bundle of money. You put in a quarter and hit the button, and it would vacuum-form a blue plastic clock for you right while you watched,
and then
pop it out, and you had this thing to take home. I loved that little blue plastic clock. It was so cool to see the technology work like that.
Yeah,
the whole works were transparent. Right, as of the vacuum form process.
Yep.
I mean, it's just vacuum form. It's not a big deal. But
back
man,
in that
I tell you what,
it was
great.
And we're not talking that long ago. Some folks will sit there and
you're
that old.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
Watch a kid, you might not live to be even any older.
We don't think of ourselves as being old. We think of ourselves as being experienced. Listen, I want to talk a little bit about our website. At soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we have a poll. Last week it was about USB flash drives. 340 of you answered, making it number 85 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. 29% of you don't even use a USB flash drive. 28% of you once in a while, 26% of you pretty regularly, and only 49 of you every day. And, of course, 11 people voted for the Macintosh. Now, let's think about this. For those of you who are listening who are who have a significant other or a friend or a buddy or a pal who is a computer head, a USB flash drive makes a great Christmas gift. You can buy inexpensive ones or very expensive ones. You can go all the way from stocking stuffer to gift. They work in every operating system on every computer, so you don't have to worry about which one you get or, you know, did I get the one that's compatible. If the machine has a USB card in it, a USB port.
Anything from
anything sold in the last 3 years,
yeah.
Easy, in the last 5 years probably,
yep.
Will have one. It makes a great little gift. People can save files to it, take them back and forth to work, or just store them, or you know whatever they want to do. It's an inexpensive but very thoughtful and incredibly useful gift.
Another little gift that, matter of fact, we just got into the shop just on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say you don't have a home network.
Okay, let's say that
you just got just say one computer and another one, say a laptop.
All right,
but yet you want to connect the two of them together.
Yes, you do.
They have a new little device that goes from uses USB port for transferring files.
Oh, how cool is that?
And it's just a small device, and you hook it up to two USB ports, run the software, and you can see one machine to the other for a little peer-to-peer.
So you make a little network of your own and move files back and forth.
Yeah, and
very
you want
nice.
To move it off, you know, back and forth, but not have, you know, both machines on a network getting a hub and everything else. With this little device, put it into both USB ports on either machine, and they'll see each other, and you can transfer files.
Very cool.
It is.
Anyway, on our website, that's what we do. And this week's poll, there's a new law. The Senate has introduced the law. Senator Hillary Clinton and the U.S. and some colleagues of hers on Friday introduced legislation prohibiting the sale of violent or sexually explicit video games to minors, saying the industry's self-rating system was not being adequately enforced. The proposed measure was the latest development in an increasingly strident battle over the content of video games, which is about a $10 billion industry in the United States, rivaling the box office revenue of Hollywood movies. We don't think of that sometimes, but the reality is that we go to a lot of movies, but we buy a lot of video games. At any rate, our... Senator Clinton says these video games are stealing the innocence of our children. Our bill puts teeth into the standards set by the industry. And so our question this week in the poll, who should control which video games kids buy? And the choices in alphabetical order are government, parents, retailers, and the kids, of course. So far, that was entirely the wrong button. So far, we have 86 votes. Overwhelmingly, people believe it should be the parents. I did not. Normally, I put the Macintosh as a choice simply because Mac people don't make decisions. They see the word Macintosh and their brain stop and they just click on that. Yep. This time, I want you to actually make a decision. You know, this is important. And so far, 91% of you believe it's the parents. And I have to tell you, I completely agree with that. I don't even care if there's a rating system, except that the parents can then look at that and make a decision. The problem is too many kids buy these games on their own, and the parents don't have anything to do with it. And you know what? They should. That's my soapbox, but there you are. Anyway, that's on our website, soundbites.org. When you're done with that, below it you'll see a yellow box, a yellowish box, and you can click Give Us Your Opinion. That takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Very nice. You slay me. Get it? Okay. Where you can leave an opinion. Because I know that one button click is not enough for you folks. You actually want to leave an entire phrase, which you can now do. So feel free to do that when you're at my website. Feel free to look around and see all the cool new stuff. For those of you who are indeed members, I apologize. Last week I was going to unveil a great new thing. I can't even tell you what it is yet. A great new thing, but it's it got delayed for a week because, hey, it's Christmas. Stuff happens, you know what I'm saying? But hopefully shortly we'll be doing that. So we'll be on to that shortly. And Dave, you wanted to talk about the network batteries. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Jim was bringing this up on his show, Jim Sammons. But Dell is now doing a recall of their batteries in a lot of their notebooks. Seems they have an issue. You could be sitting there with the battery plugged in to your laptop, charging it up, and the thing could catch on fire or severely overheat.
Well, that would be, what am I thinking, bad.
Yeah, I mean, this recall is so long with the Latitudes D410s, D505s, 510s, 600s, 610s, 800s, and 810s, along with some other Inspirons. If you want to check this out, if you go to the Dell website, you know, you can check it out there. But I would highly recommend, you know, these computers were sold during in October from HP, and it's only $135,000.
Yeah.
Battery packs, but I mean, hello, that's quite a few homes that could go up, even if it's one. You don't want to have it. So if you're in doubt, go to the Dell website, check it out, and see if your machine, and even question it. You know what I mean? You don't want that task. Because I know a lot of folks, you know, they'll use their computer or their laptop during the day. They come home, and then they just plug it in.
Right, and they leave it there all the time.
And they leave it there all night charging.
Which is fine, normally.
Yeah, but with this, it could cause overheating and cause a fire. So, folks, don't take the chance. Go out and see if your battery pack is or particular model is on this website for recall and check it out. Don't delay. I know it's the holidays and everything else, but it could also ruin your holidays if something happens to it.
Right, and it is a free replacement, so absolutely go for it. In addition to that, by the way, the industry is now pushing. One of the problems with computers is the fact that the batteries just don't last very long. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to get a few more hours out of it. Intel is hoping that they're pushing the industry for 8 hours of battery life. Now, some of that comes out of what they can do with the machines themselves to cut down on power consumption, but a lot of it also has to do with the battery manufacturers themselves. So and the LCD panels and everything else. So they're hoping to get a much better life out of the batteries. But in the meantime, definitely if you have a Dell, check the website and make sure that you're not part of that recall. They've got model types and the model numbers themselves. So check that out because we want all of you to be safe.
Yes.
To Don't listen need any in next tragedy. Week. We're going to go back to the phones. We have Bob from
PA.
Pennsylvania. Where, Bob?
In Gillett, Pennsylvania, just a bit below.
Up on top of the hill.
What's that?
Up on top of the hill.
Oh, no, I'm in a valley, but...
Oh,
what city?
Gillett.
Spell it, please.
It's G-I-L-L-E-T-T. It's about 10 miles south of Elmira. But I just love Wham, so I have an outside antenna so I can hear you.
Very nice. That's what we love to hear. So what's your story, Bob?
Well, I am in the middle of nowhere, and as a result, my ISP is a long-distance call. So I go to the library when I want to download something that's sizable. Is there any way I can reasonably guarantee I'm not bringing home something extremely nasty when I plug in my trusty old... Oh, that's my...
Well, yes and no.
Yeah, I was going to say, libraries are pretty limited as to where they're going to go surfing. They don't allow folks to do email on a library machine in the work area. At least that's the way it is up here in Rochester, New York.
I don't know about that. I do my own emailing here.
Right,
I try to get offline as quickly
but
as
usually
I can.
Libraries don't allow that. They allow for the research, you know, and that's what they're there. Those machines are set up for is to sit there and do research.
Mm-hmm. Well, my trusty little USB gizmo gets a good workout when I go there. I bring it home generally pretty well full, and then
that's an excellent use for it. What I would suggest you do is when you bring it home, the first thing you do is a scan of that pen drive.
But therein lies the difficulty. The long-distance ISP means that when I want to download something like AVG, I'm talking about some pretty serious money. And for that matter, a lot of the stuff doesn't even work anymore on Windows 98. I've discovered that the latest Adware, that doesn't run.
Yep.
And unfortunately,
they're all abandoning 98. Microsoft hasn't supported it for a couple of years now, and if you're a small company like most of these are, and you have to put your resources somewhere, it's not going to be in an operating system that's now what, 8 years old?
Yeah. And to explain what a pen drive is it just
a pen drive is a little device that kind of looks like your thumb, and it plugs into the USB port. They're called USB drives, flash drives,
pen drives,
thumb drives, jump drives. They're basically a USB flash memory card that when you plug it into the USB port, it looks like a little drive, 256 meg, a gig, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bob, in your particular case, the first thing I would suggest you do is download as much of the Security Tango as you can to that drive and start with Stinger. When you download it to your drive, bring it home, run it immediately, and it'll tell you if it's safe to move on to the next set of steps. Good luck, and keep listening down in Gillette, PA. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
AM, computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
Name who this is, Nick.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Okay, I have to listen now.
Two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
Muppets? You win.
Yeah.
Very nice. Can't believe it took Nick that long.
It did. I've got this little goober in my bad ear. What do you want from me?
What? Your what?
In my bad ear.
Same here.
You know, my
bad... So nice working here at the home.
Hello. Shut up. Just shut exactly up. All right, puppy boy. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about some stuff in the news. We've got the PowerBook. Some Apple computer customers are complaining that although the new 15-inch PowerBook has higher resolution, the screen also displays unwanted horizontal lines. If you've been on any Apple forum, this debate has been just raging over there, differing opinions on how severe it is and whether Apple should be responsible for replacing displays. A lot of people saying the old display, crisp, solid. The new display has very noticeable black horizontal lines between each row of pixels. For graphics designers, that's really frustrating.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's you know, that's mainly why you get a Mac. I mean, in the graphics world, is the detail and the clarity of that display. I mean, I've said it for years. When it comes to graphics, the Mac kicks butt.
Right. Now, they're saying that the 17-inch model with the higher resolution screen is fine. It's just the 15-inch model. They say if you turn the contrast to the lowest setting, that helps. Other people say it's not a big deal at all, but... You know, a lot of people are expecting more from a $2,000 laptop, and in particular, people expect more from Apple.
Yeah.
You know, they really expect perfection, and whether or not that's unrealistic, That's what they expect. Now, of course, the thing is, if you've got a technical issue like that, it's not the fault of the store you bought it from. It's the product itself. And Apple Care may be able to deal with that, but I don't know that what Apple's doing about that altogether. This is a lot like the old debate over dead pixels in an LCD. On any LCD screen, some pixels are either always on or they never light up at all. Manufacturers have different policies with a some set specific pixel limits, like anything less than 1% of the pixels, or one-tenth of 1% or whatever of the pixels. It is okay, and if you've got those dead, too bad. Others use a more complex formula depending on where the pixels are and stuff like that. Still others just take it on a case-by-case basis. Some pixel anomalies, as Apple calls them, are to be expected, of course. But I don't know. They don't seem to be clear at this point on what's an unacceptable defect. But we'll keep you informed of that as we go along, and certainly... for those of you who've gotten a new 15-inch PowerBook and are unhappy, be polite to the folks who sold it to you. They only sold it. They didn't make it.
Yeah.
That's an important thing. Our next caller is Brian from Scottsville, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, gentlemen. Got a quick question, but before I get to it, a chingity-ching.
Chingity-ching.
Dominic the Donkey.
There we go.
I thought I was the only one in this entire country that remembered that song.
No, it's a great song, Dominic the Donkey. I can't believe these guys don't have it from I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head. It'll come to me.
Neither can I.
It'll come to me. It's a great song. It's a novelty song. You know, it's not a serious Christmas song at all. But it's
a guy with the beard, the mustache.
I can't think of it. But anyway, it's an Italian novelty song, basically.
Yep, Santa Claus can't handle the hills with his reindeer, so he needs Dominic.
There you go. See? if you look up Dominic the Donkey on, I'm doing that right now on Google, you should probably find it with Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey.
Yep.
It's actually pretty funny. Chingity ching, hee haw, hee haw. Absolutely. It's a great song. It's a great Christmas song. Anyway, what's your question there, Brian?
Well, my wife has a problem with her connection. We have a wireless router, and she is on a laptop. It's an older model, but until recently never really gave her this problem where all of a sudden the network connection just cuts out on her, even if she's using it actively. It's like there's a period of time, I'm not sure what it is, maybe 20, 30 minutes or something like that, that no matter what, she has to either restart or just totally shut down and reboot.
What? And, is she running Windows 98?
No, I believe it is XP.
And yes, if XP. She reboots, it works fine.
Right, until that time period comes up again, and then it's out.
How much
there.
Memory?
Basically, what I'm looking for is just where can we look to find out where some kind of timing issue might be found?
Well, there are a couple of things that could be causing this.
Do you have any in the control panel under power savings? Make sure that the if she because this is a laptop, and with the laptop, the settings for power savings. If it's plugged in, you can change those to never. It might be spinning down the hard drive and breaking the connection in the network. So you might want to check the power savings in for the notebook under that, because that's 10 to 1 odds what most of your problems are, is you can change it.
Well, it's also possible that it's actually in the router. Did you do an update of any sort to the router itself?
I think he's there.
Because if he did, what might have happened is that the router gives you what's called a lease when you log in. Every router, every system does. And you can actually look at what that is from the Windows side by going to a prompt and typing ipconfig, all one word, for Internet Protocol Configuration, ipconfig, space, /all, A-L-L. ipconfig/all will give you a list of all of the settings of all of the adapters on your system. And at the bottom of the Ethernet adapter, you'll see lease obtained on a certain date and lease expires on a certain date. When you lose the connection, check that and see if the lease is expired. If that's the problem, then in the router itself, you can have the lease go longer, mm-hmm. basically. And that's kind of what
so
you have to do.
So that's a couple of things to try out, though.
Yeah, and that's a couple of things to try out. That can be a longer fix. And the problem with that, of course, is if the problem is actually the router and he takes the system to somebody, they're not going to find a problem.
Right. But like,
because if you take the laptop to somebody and the problem's in the router, you're not going to find the problem.
But I see a lot of it, though, because of the settings of the laptop. It defaults, mm-hmm. like, everything to it's running off the battery, not powered in. You know, if it's got it plugged in, you can change the settings versus being running off the battery pack.
Right.
And it won't spin down to try to conserve energy, which you want it to do. If you're traveling with a laptop right. and using it, you want to conserve energy.
Right.
So spin down the hard drive or disconnect the connection to the network
yep.
to save energy.
That makes sense.
So change them.
Speaking of saving energy, let's get poor Steve going. He's on a cell phone. We don't want him to run out of battery. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
My question consists, I've got tons of questions, but I'll give you the first one on my list and save you some time. I had a computer disaster in my office about 10 months ago because I was with encryption. I was using file sharing on my wireless network, and I created some documents on one computer, and then somehow one of the other computers on the network, I had inadvertently put into some sort of server mode or something like that, as a workstation maybe or something.
Yeah.
And somehow the encryption on those files got messed up because one machine was creating them and one machine was editing them, and they didn't have the same permissions or whatever. So we had a disaster, and my backups were really insufficient. So my question really is about the backup situation, because I have five computers in my office, all PCs, Windows XP, SP2, that are running together, and I also have two at home, and I tend to swap them out back and forth occasionally. And I've tried any number of different ways to backup, and basically it's just a real pain trying to keep up with everything, keep everything maintained and backed up on a regular basis. So I was wondering if you have an idea generally as to how to approach it, and also specifically if it's a good software program, because I've tried Windows Home Backup, I've tried Stomp Backup My PC.
Yeah, here's the thing. Any of those things that you're talking about, first, never ever use Windows Backup. The backup works great. The restore has never worked on any version of Windows I've ever seen in my entire life. So don't use the Windows backup. As for things like Backup My PC, those are designed for home users who have a half a dozen files, a couple of dozen files. In an office setting, your documents are your business lifeblood. Spend a few bucks and get a decent program to back them up. There are a number of them that are available. For example,
NovaStore is one.
NovaStore is excellent. Backup Exec.
Yep.
Is another one. There are a bunch of them that are very, very good. Backup Exec is from Symantec. So if you go to Symantec.com, you'll find that one there. Veritas makes a backup solution. Those are excellent solutions. There's also another way you can go. If you're in an office, buy a server. Mm-hmm. Connect all the systems to the one real server. And on that machine... Now, I'm going to get semi-technical here, but I'm only going to give you the bare bones, and you should talk to your tech support people to do this. You get a server, you put two big hard drives in them and mirror them. Let's say you put two 200-gig hard drives in the machine. You only see one, so you only get 200 gigs. But everything you save to that one is immediately backed up to the other one. So you've got two copies of that software. Now, if the whole machine bursts into flames, you lose both copies. Yeah. But other than that, you've got a pretty good... backup solution right there, as long as people remember not to save files on their own drives, but to save them to the network.
And there's also companies. There's one here in Rochester.
Yes.
That what they can do is open up a port on your router and do it automatically for you. So if you want certain files in that saved, they'll, for a monthly fee, do the backups for you. So you have one less issue to worry about, saving company business files.
Yep. So those are some of the choices that that you have to do that, and you got to make your choice depending on what your network is like.
Yeah.
That's why they pay people like me huge consultant fees to come in and look at networks and pick the exact correct solution. Our next caller, Colleen from Perry, New York. Welcome, Colleen.
Hi. I've been listening regularly. And
wait, Colleen, one or two L's?
Two.
Okay.
But three E's?
No.
That's the way Rob spelled it.
Okay.
Colleen!
He's got you a C-O-L-E-N. You got Perry right.
You got Perry right. So what's your question?
Okay. A couple of weeks ago you were saying that Norton antivirus was not the one you would want for the Mac. What antivirus program would you recommend for a Mac?
There are a couple of antivirus programs that are available for the Macintosh. Norton is certainly one of them. Intego, I'm not quite sure how that's pronounced. They have a full range of product for Macintosh users. Sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S, is also a very good one. And, of course, Virex. Virex, these are all listed on our website. Virex is from McAfee Associates, so it's a good program. And you might want to take a look at that one. So those are just some of the choices. Virex from McAfee, very nice. Sophos at Sophos.com, S-O-P-H-O-S. .com is also another nice one for home. Intego is really kind of Intego is another good one at Intego, Intego.com. So any one of those might be a good choice. All right, our phone numbers, by the way, nobody's called in to tell us what they want for Christmas. This is an excellent opportunity to let your significant other listen in on what you want for Christmas. Nobody's called in. Our phone numbers are 222-1180 if you're in the 585 area code. The Choice One toll-free line is 800-295-1180. I'm sure that's where Bob called from Gillette, PA. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, why, you can just dial star 1180 and get right to us. So give us a call and tell us what you want for Christmas.
Or when they're getting us
for
Christmas.
If you don't celebrate Christmas, tell us what you want anyway. You never know what will show up at your door. And, let us know what you're getting us for Christmas because, you know, We come into your homes 52 weeks a year. We ought to get something for that.
It works for me.
And if you believe that,
we got some swampland for you.
Yeah, yeah. There was a critical security fix for Internet Explorer last Tuesday. It's causing some trouble. It's causing trouble for some users who've been testing the new Internet Explorer 7 browser. I've got a bunch of calls on this. And the reality is Internet Explorer 7 is beta. I certainly can't support or troubleshoot a beta piece of software. Microsoft isn't even supporting it. That's why it's beta. the best thing you can do at that point is uninstalled.
Yeah.
The problem is the problem seems to be that IE7 is also installed with IE6. And when you put them together, the first beta of IE7 adds an incorrectly configured key to the Windows registry. But you can't run both, and you can't remove IE6. So really, if you're testing IE7 and you've got this problem, the only thing you can do is uninstall IE7 and move on from there. Our next caller is Doug from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Doug. What do you want for Christmas? Doug, are you there?
Right here. Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can. Can you hear me?
Yep, just fine.
All right.
Okay, here's my question. I just bought a Dell GPS 400 for my kids and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check the website, remember. Oh, is it a laptop?
No, it's a PC.
Oh, you're good then.
Yeah.
And I'm not on broadband, but I'm going to be hooking up. And, good. Of course, I am very worried about viruses and setting this thing up. So
yeah, as well you should be.
Now, one real quick question is I had heard that if I put a router in, that would help significantly. Is that true?
Not with viruses.
No.
It helps with hackers trying to break into your network from outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it doesn't protect you from viruses or spyware or any of that other stuff.
Okay.
So you still need to do, you know, have the antivirus software, whether it's Microsoft, Norton or McAfee, and then...
check out the Security Tango at securitytango.com. We list antivirus software, firewalls, anti-spyware, everything you need for your system. And that's the best place to get the skinny on all the new stuff. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple.
online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful,
and the fire is so delightful.
And since we've no place to go,
let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
This is the music I'm used to in my other position.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nice stuff. Oh, I wasn't listening. Was that Steve Lawrence?
Michael Bublé.
Oh, sure he was. I was singing, so I wasn't.
Do you know
really
who that
attention.
Is?
No idea.
Okay.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Of course you do now. A few years ago? Ooh-wah. He said absolutely with that look in his eye that said, please don't challenge me on this. Our next caller is John from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, John. What do you want for Christmas?
Hey, what I want for Christmas before I give you my question is the firing of Tom Donahoe and Mike Mularkey.
Okay.
The Buffalo Bills GM and head coach.
Oh, I see. And that will make you a happy man?
That would make me an extremely happy camper.
Well, good luck. I hope you've asked Santa. Did you write a letter? Did you write a letter to Santa?
No.
See? You don't look, if you don't ask, you don't get. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, my question is a while ago I ended up getting nasty spyware on my computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I took it into a shop. It was really bad. I think I got ripped off at the shop I took it to. But they said I needed a motherboard. They replaced the motherboard and the on and off switch.
Yeah.
On the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I got it back. I brought it back home, and I still wasn't able to connect to the internet. Now I ended up I have Windows 2000 right now, and I ended up purchasing Windows XP Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I have to reformat my computer to install XP Pro? I was told if I just had to, if I reinstalled the operating system, that I would be able to get back onto the internet.
All right, one thing for you, John, though. Now, did they sell you the upgrade or the full-blown version?
I got the full-blown version.
And you certainly can reformat your hard drive. You shouldn't have to, yeah. If the Windows 2000 system was set up with NTFS, then you don't have to reformat.
Right.
If it was set up with FAT, then you probably should, because you lose most of the benefits of XP.
Now by doing that,
and that's the way the drives are formatted, by the way.
By doing that, reinstalling a new operating system or upgrading,
mm-hmm.
would that get me connected to the internet?
Probably. Well, here's the deal. When you install new, it's like you've got a brand new computer, and the installation checks every single thing on your system and tries to install all the necessary drivers to connect you to the internet.
But when he goes from 2000 to XP, XP should automatically find his network card and have everything working fine for him.
Right. Well, I'm saying if he does it as a fresh install, pretty much definitely, assuming he's on broadband, if he's on dial-up, it'll find his modem, but it doesn't run the connection.
Especially since he bought the full-blown version, he's got no alternative.
That's right. He can't, right.
Yeah.
That's exactly
right.
Unless
he got an upgrade would allow him.
You don't have to reformat the hard drive, but after all the problems you've had, it might not be a bad idea to do that. Make sure you've backed up all your documents before you do.
Well, he's going to have to as far as getting the XP that he bought, because that's a full-blown version. It won't let you do an upgrade because it's not an upgrade version.
Right.
There are some tricks that you can do around it, but we won't get into that.
All right. So he's going to have to reformat.
And he'll be better off that way.
All right. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hi. I tried to delete or uninstall Internet Explorer on my computer.
Yeah.
What version?
I don't know.
You can't do it.
Unless it's the beta of 7, you cannot uninstall IE from your system. Microsoft is embedded deeply in the operating system because, you know, God forbid you buy an operating system that doesn't have a browser embedded in it. Excuse me, that's just me. And so you cannot, in fact, uninstall it.
You proved that in court. As a matter of fact, that was a big court case.
Yep.
that he proved how it is, you know, interwoven.
Well, but now the European Union says if you want to sell Windows here, it better be unbundled. And they're managing to do it. Unbelievable, yeah. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, technology changes all the time. So at any rate, you cannot uninstall IE no matter how hard you try, no matter what you do. You can screw up your system, but you can't actually uninstall IE. If you have screwed up your system, download IE from the network, I guess on somebody else's computer, burn it to a CD, and then install it on yours. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of moments with
talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We do have a couple of people who want to talk about what they want for Christmas. First up is Pam. Pam is calling from Avon, New York. Welcome, Pam. What's your question?
Hi, yeah. The long or short story is my hard drive burned out a few weeks ago, and we had it replaced, and then I'm talking about getting some kind of backup system to actually back up the whole hard drive.
Yep.
And so I'm looking at these little flash drivey things, and I'm looking on that auction site, you know, that's very popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there were MP3 players combined with the flash drive with little earbuds and digital voice recorder and stuff like that. And so I'm saying that would fit in a stocking really nice.
Yep.
Would that
but I wouldn't necessarily use it for system backup for two reasons. One is people are going to carry it around for the music.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, depending on the size, you can certainly store a bunch of your documents on it. But, that's all you really want to store anyway. You don't really want to store your whole system.
Okay.
But because you're going to carry it around, you really don't want to use that necessarily. I mean, you're going to put music on it. You're going to erase the music, add new music. Somebody at some point is going to say, I'd rather have my music than this file and lose it. And
just burn it to DVD or CD.
Burn it to a CD or DVD if you want to save the file, or buy a separate flash drive. They're awfully cheap now. The music player is a great gift for playing music.
Mm-hmm.
But a flash drive specifically for files would be a better choice for saving
Another thing
documents.
That's not too, actually too large, might fit in an oversized stocking, is a external USB hard drive.
Okay.
In other words, you can get an enclosure and then any size hard drive you want in it, and it just hooks up. They're not very big. They're maybe 2 inches wide and maybe 6 inches long. It's about the size of a hard drive, and it hooks up to a USB port, and biggest hard drive you want in it, you can put in it and save your data.
Yeah, go for that, Pam. It's a great idea. Our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi,
what do you want for Christmas? That's what we're going to talk about.
What I want for Christmas is this is going to sound weird, a job so I can help pay my health insurance.
There you go. That's what you need for Christmas. That's what we all need. That's the way this country works these days. We need good jobs. We need good health insurance.
Yeah, and I want to wish you guys a very happy holiday.
And the
Thank
same
you.
To you, Linda. I hope your holidays are safe and blessed and everything you want them to be. That's great. We... you know, I have to say, I don't know or even care what your religious or non-religious feelings are. This is the time of year to think about family and to think about the love you've got and to be grateful and thankful
and people around you.
For everybody around you. And it doesn't matter what your religious bent is. This is a good time to sit back and reflect. And think about that, and to renew old ties, and to do all the stuff that, you know, you put off all year. We all do it. We all do it all year long.
Mm-hmm.
You
Too
know,
busy.
Yeah, I'll be happy to get with you. You know, we'll chat. I lived for how many years in New York City, and the only time I ever went to the Empire State Building is when friends came from out of town. And the only time I went to the Statue of Liberty was when friends came from out of town. Because it's always there. You can always go to it, so you don't do it. And the reality is we do the same thing with our friends and our family. And make the time, take the time to get together with people and to have a good time. You know, we spend a lot of time on our computers, and that's great. It's great for us because that's, you know, how we make our livings and how we do this show. But maybe this is the time of year. Here's the best present you can give your family. Every computer made comes with an off switch. Use it. Use the off switch. Go downstairs, talk to your family. Do something together. Play a game of cards. Sit around and
give them what they call the old fashioned thing called quality time.
Give them quality time. See, well, you know what?
Doesn't
I hate
cost
the term.
Anything.
I hate the term quality time because It's time.
Yeah.
It's not quality time. You know what? I give you 2 hours of lousy time or half an hour of quality time. No, it's time. You give them time. The more you give them, the better it is. So turn off your computers. Give it, you know, however many days
you can
do it.
Turn off the cell phone.
Take off, turn off the computer, turn off the cell phone, turn off the television, turn off the MP3 players, turn off everything except the radio, of course. Turn it off. Turn off the radio and do it. This is Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, wishing you a blessed and safe and peaceful.